You're Locked On Blue Jackets, your daily podcast on the Columbus Blue Jackets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Locked On Blue Jackets. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am, as always, your host, Jay Foster. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. So it was a pretty busy day yesterday for GM Jarmo Kekäläinen. In the first day of the NHL free agency period, I didn't think it was going to be this busy. But honestly, we only signed one new player, and that was center Sean Corrali, who we'll get into a little bit later. But we did re-sign six of our players, or we signed them to new contracts, I should say. We re-signed Gavin Bayreuther, who was the Seattle Kraken's pick, which I guess that's, that's just kind of bad asset management, really. I believe Bayreuther is on a two-year contract. This year it is two-way. Next year it will be one-way. So for people who don't know the difference between a one-way and a two-way contract, because I see this all the time, people think that it's about they could only play in the NHL or they could only play in the AHL if it's a one-way contract, and that's not what it is. So a one-way contract means that you get paid the same amount regardless of whether you're in the NHL or the AHL. A two-way contract means that you get paid a different amount based on whether you are in the NHL or the AHL. So I think the plan is Bayreuther is going to be maybe our sixth or seventh defenseman this season. He'll probably spend some time in Cleveland. He will he'll be paid a different amount based on whether he's in the NHL or the AHL, and then next year he'll be paid the same regardless of whether he is in either league. I assume the hope is that we can maybe make him a full-time NHLer by the end of this season, but I guess we'll see. There's plenty of opportunity on defense now that Seth Jones is gone, David Savard is gone, Michael Delzotto did not re-sign, he signed in Ottawa for a couple of seasons, so he's gone, so the blue line is going to look very, very different this season. But yeah, the Seattle picking Gavin Bayreuther and then just not re-signing him was a bizarre choice, especially when they talk a lot about, or they've been talking, I should say, about center depth being important to them. They could have had Max Domi for nothing. If they wanted a defenseman, they could have taken Dean Kukan and kept him, but they, for some reason, decided to choose a pending UFA who clearly was not going to sign with them, and I don't understand why. It wasn't even like there was a side deal where we were like, hey, we'll give you a first round pick if you don't pick any of our good players. They did this themselves, so I don't know, it's baffling. So he is back. We have another minor league signing. We've got Tyler Sakura. He was second in scoring for the Cleveland Monsters this year. He has signed a one-year, two-way deal. I don't expect him to get a ton of NHL time, but in a Cleveland Monsters team that I feel might be a little bit depleted based on who we bring up, that's a pretty good depth signing. In terms of bigger players, we have given contract extensions to three players. Boone Jenner has gotten one, Eric Robinson, and Alexander Texier. They've all had contract extensions. We'll get into that in a minute. I do first want to talk about the Patrick Laine qualifying offer. My immediate reaction to this was a surprise, honestly. I was unsure of how I felt about the fact that he maybe didn't want to sign a longer term extension, or, you know, it felt very much like he had one foot out the door already. And then I thought about it, and I listened to what Kekalainen had said, and honestly, I think it makes sense for both the player and the team. He had kind of a I don't want to say disappointing season last season, but he definitely had a down season, a season that we didn't really expect from Patrick Laine, especially after we gave up Pierre-Luc Dubois for him. His qualifying offer is for, it's literally just a one season contract, $7.5 million, and it's kind of a, it's not exactly like a show me contract, but I think it is a, it's a 1 year contract to evaluate where player and team are kind of this time next season. I wouldn't be surprised if we flip him at the deadline if the Blue Jackets are bad, but it's so hard to predict. I think that they do genuinely want to try and keep him around. And so I think this contract is kind of a, okay, we'll take a year, we'll reevaluate in a year, and hopefully we will be in, hopefully we'll be in a better place. Maybe in the standings, maybe in terms of, Laine will get on much better with Larson as a head coach than he did with Tortorella, but it's so hard to predict at this point. And I like it okay. I would have been happier with a long-term contract or longer-term contract, but I don't hate this. It means that he's not going to get to UFA. We will have his RFA rights next season if we keep him. So it is what it is. It does give me a bad feeling, because obviously we have problems with players making it to UFA and then immediately leaving. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess. I fully expect Laine to have a better season this season than last season. I think a combination of injury, trade, playing in a global pandemic, Tortorella, inconsistent line mates. You know, it was, I'm not surprised that he struggled. I'm not surprised that anyone on the team struggled, frankly. So we'll see. I am hopeful for Patrick Laine's season next season, and I will be interested to see who his line mates are, and whether Jakub Voracek can encourage some kind of return to form in his scoring, because, you know, we'll talk about it when I talk to Danielle and Rachel on Locked On Flyers, but Jakub Voracek is very much a playmaker, and I think the plan is to just kind of stick them on either wing with a defensively responsible-ish center, and just kind of watch them go, which should be pretty fun. Coming up in a minute, we'll talk about the contract extensions of Jenner, Robinson, and Texier. But first, I've got to tell you about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The Olympics are happening right now, and if you want to make some money betting on, oh, I don't know, BMXing or swimming or cycling or shooting or basketball is apparently an Olympic sport. If that's something you want to bet on, then Bet Online has the odds for you. If you want to bet on the NHL, they've got that as well. You could already bet on next year's Stanley Cup winner if you want to, you know, take a bet on the Blue Jackets. I wouldn't recommend it, but you sure could do that. So head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device, check out all the great sporting news, sign up bonuses, and contest information, and if you use promo code Locked On, or one word, you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once again, that is betonline.ag. Use promo code Locked On, or one word, to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So let's talk Boone Jenner, because after the Cam Atkinson trade, I had kind of made my peace with the fact that we were going to flip Boone Jenner at the deadline, because he is exactly the kind of player that teams love to pick up at the trade deadline. He would have been a pending UFA. He's big, he's gritty, he's got intangibles, he is pretty solid defensively, you know, all of these things that coaches love, and he's a really good ad at a bottom six. He's a pretty good ad for a bottom six role on a, for example, a team like Tampa, who took David Savard and, you know, played him about 8 minutes a night, but it wasn't instrumental in winning the cup, but it certainly helped the big guys. So Boone Jenner, I feel like, is kind of a similar player, but we are not trading him, as far as I know. He is back. It's a four-year extension. I believe it's exactly the same term as his current contract, which I think is 3.75, which I'm pretty happy with. I think Jenner's going to take a bigger role this season, obviously losing basically all of our centers last season. I would be surprised if we don't start Boone Jenner on center this season. I think he's better as a winger, but that's, I mean, I don't make the rules, so we'll see, I guess. Is, I feel like I'm saying that a lot this episode, but we'll kind of see how that shakes out. Boone Jenner is one of the guys that I think wants to be a Blue Jacket, which, I mean, that counts for something in this world. You know, I've talked about it a little bit, but trading Cam Atkinson was, I don't know, it made me feel bad as a fan, and also, like, as someone who knows how much Cam Atkinson loved it in Columbus. And I think Boone Jenner is kind of the same. You know, he was drafted here, he's come up through the minors, he is he's a key piece of the Blue Jackets kind of DNA, I think, at this point. He's our longest serving Blue Jacket now. He's probably going to pass Rick Nash in terms of games played. He probably won't pass Rick Nash in, like, any of the other records. And trading Cam Atkinson means that his records probably won't be broken for a while. But I like this signing. I like that Boone Jenner's back. I wouldn't be surprised if they give him the C at some point, because honestly, who else are we going to give it to? Like, I don't think we'll start the season with a captain, but maybe some point in the middle of the season or next off season, I wouldn't be surprised if Boone Jenner gets that call. I don't hate it. I like Boone Jenner a lot. I think he was the guy that everyone assumed was going to be named captain back in 2015, I want to say, before Nick Foligno kind of had that really, really great, like, coming out season, and the All-Star game happened, and everyone was like, oh, wow, Nick Foligno, we love him. Boone Jenner was apparently the guy that they were going to pick. So, again, I wouldn't be surprised to see Boone Jenner as the captain. Some smaller signings. Alexander Texier, who did not have as good of a season as I think he hoped, is getting a contract extension. He is getting $3.05 million, so about $750,000 less than Boone Jenner. Again, it feels very much like a bridge deal. Which is what I was expecting of Texier. He'll still be a UFA. Sorry, he'll still be an RFA when the contract expires, and it gives him a chance to spend these 2 years developing and showing the Blue Jackets kind of what kind of player he can be. And if, you know, if he keeps going up and up like he has been, then I think he could be a very good player. I wouldn't be surprised to see him centering Line A and Voracek at some point this season. Whether it'll stick, I don't know. But again, we have like three centers, so I wouldn't be surprised if our center depth went something like Texier, Roslovic, Corrali. Which is not great, but again, the Blue Jackets don't have a lot of centers, so it might just be making the best of a bad situation. Acquiring Corrali helps, we'll talk about him in a little bit. So we've also signed Eric Robinson to a 2-year extension at $3.2 million in total. So that is $1.8 million a year, which don't have a problem with that. Again, feels very much like a bridge contract. We'll reevaluate in 2 years. He'll be a UFA at that point, I believe. But he has kind of been growing and growing. Looking at the fancy stats, his possession play is really good. And, you know, like I've said on this podcast before, if his hands catch up to his feet, he could be a 20-goal scorer in this league or more. He is maybe the fastest Blue Jacket. He came on leaps and bounds this season, obviously, with the departure of a lot of the guys in the depth chart above him. He has, I feel like he's taken this opportunity to play up the lineup, and he did really well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get more and more ice time, get more and more responsibility, maybe crack that top six, I don't know. But I think he'll be a solid middle six winger for us this season, which, again, I'm pretty happy with. I'm really happy with all of these extensions, actually. I think they're pretty decent in terms of cap. No one has been signed to a super long contract extension. It feels kind of like a tentative team, if that makes sense. But I get it. If we don't, like, the team's going to be very different next season, and if we don't know what we have, I don't think it's smart to sign people to super long-term deals. Not to say it again, but we'll see. Come up in a minute. We're going to talk about the newest Blue Jacket, who is probably a little bit more familiar than most. But first, I've got to tell you about rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years, and they are probably one of the best in the business, frankly. They have reliably low prices. It's super easy to use. You know, you don't have to go to your local chain auto parts store. You don't have to ask a bunch of questions to the guy behind the counter, who's probably going to look at you like you're talking another language and is going to go ahead and order the brands that he wants, the brand that's probably going to make him the most commission. You've got to wait for that part to get delivered. You've got to pay for the labor, etc., etc. Just go to rockauto.com. You don't even have to leave your house. And you can save 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts than you would get from this grumpy man at the chain store or car dealership. They've got everything from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even things like new carpet. If you could put it on or in your car or truck, then rockauto.com probably stocks it. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So the first signing that the Blue Jackets made yesterday was also kind of, I guess, their only signing. Everyone else got extensions or new contracts, but the newest Blue Jacket is a kid called Sean Corrali, who is from Dublin, Ohio. He has been signed to a 4-year, $10 million contract, so that is $2.5 million a year, which, again, very affordable. I do feel a little bit like we are just kind of collecting all of the Columbus kids, which I am fine with. If Toronto can talk about how every single Toronto-born player is going to go back, then we can have the, like, 5 Ohio kids. So I don't know a ton about him. I know that people are very excited to have him back in Columbus. He was a AAA Blue Jacket. He played at Miami University in Ohio. So, you know, he did a lot of his developing here. He's been in the Bruins organization for about 6 years now. And he is really, again, he's going to solidify us down the center a little bit. I don't think he's going to be a top line center by any means, but as I've been saying, you know, a handful of times throughout this podcast, we have no centers. We have like 1.5 centers, really. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see him maybe get a chance at that top center position between, I assume, between line A and Voracek. But I also wouldn't be surprised to see him play second or third line. He really seems like a guy that will get a chance in basically every center position, which I don't hate. Hopefully we will get a Bruins person on to kind of give us a little bit more of an inside scoop on him. But for the most part, I think, again, it's a typical Kekalainen free agency signing. 4 years, low term, for potentially a pretty sizable piece of the Blue Jackets lineup next season. I don't think anyone was expecting, you know, Kekalainen to go out and sign, I don't know. I was kind of low-key hoping for Philippe Deneau from Montreal. He ended up signing in LA for like $5.5 million for 6 years. I don't think anyone thought that Kekalainen would hand out that kind of contracted free agency. He's gone on record before saying that he would rather build the team through drafting and development than going out and signing a big name free agent, because you're gonna overpay for those. So that's that was the first day of free agency. I assume by the time this episode goes live, something else will have happened and this episode will be obsolete. But seven new contracts for the Blue Jackets, one of whom is a brand new Blue Jacket. Be interested to see how he fits into the lineup. Happy with all of them, really. Some of them are more key than others. Like I say, I would have hoped to get Patrick Laine on a slightly longer term contract, but I understand that maybe for the good of the team, for the good of his development, you know, he might have a monster season this season, and then we'll sign him longer term for probably significantly more money. But honestly, who else are we going to spend the money on? Everyone left. So, yeah, like I say, don't hate any of our signings. I'll be interested to see what we do today. I know Kekalainen was saying that he was interested in signing a defenseman in free agency as well. For one last time in this episode, for about the 18th time, we will see. And I think that's all I've got for you today. I've been Jay Foster. You can find me on Twitter at _JacobForster, JakobForster. You can find this podcast at LO_BlueJacket and wherever you get your podcasts. I think Apple Podcasts is once again acting up, but I'm on Spotify, I am on Odyssey, I am on Stitcher, I am on Google Podcasts. If you have a podcast app of choice that is not Apple, then you can find me there. And if you have comments, questions, criticisms, I'm probably going to do a mailbag at some point next week. So if you have questions for that, you can email them to lockedonbluejackets@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, make sure you stay locked on.